Thank you. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Union Congregational Church, a church in the United Church of Christ, where no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here, whether in these pews or online, whether today or throughout the week. We are glad that you're with us today. Welcome to September. The weather is changing, and soon enough, I'm not going to be able to bike to work, which is a bummer. But for those of us at home, today is a communion Sunday, so you've got plenty of time to gather some elements for that part of the service. That'll be later on in the service, and so you can participate with us. A few announcements that we have. Next Sunday is a big day in the life of this church. We've got Reunion Sunday. For anybody who is a little bit newer, that's kind of is kind of a play on words, because we're Union Congregational Church, so Reunion Sunday. We've got some really great activities that are going to be happening that day, and a potluck. So Becky, do you want to share a little bit about that?
Good morning. Yeah, next week Sunday is Reunion Sunday. I'm excited to get the Sunday school back up and rolling. We have games in the back for the kids. But then during the luncheon, we invite all of you to play some Minute to Win It games as well with the kids. I assure you that all levels can play, and you don't have to practice ahead of time. So please come join us for a nice luncheon and some fun games.
I've watched them being played. I haven't played them myself, but they are fun. And then the next week, Missions has a really exciting opportunity. Heather, do you want to say more about that? Well, yeah, but...
Good morning. Yeah, we have a really exciting event planned for Sunday the 21st at 2:30 in the afternoon. Pastor Jacob is going to provide a special music concert for us and the community. So we invite you to join us for some special music, some fellowship after with desserts, and it's going to be a free will offering, which will go towards our family emergency fund for helping individuals who need a little extra love sometimes. So if you'd like to join us for that, we invite you to do so. Jacob, do you have anything else you want to share?
No.
Oh, your
I
music?
Think you did it.
Okay.
I think you did
join
it.
Join us.
Yeah, the family support fund is a really important fund that gets used more often than you might think, and it's a fund that is, you know, always very confidential and all of that. So I'm not always, you know, I'm not able to share kind of how that makes an impact, but it truly does make an impact on people both in this church and wider. It's a really great opportunity to be able to help people in a time of need or crisis or whatever. Any other announcements?
I have one. The choir rehearses for the first time this fall at 6 o'clock this coming Wednesday at 6 o'clock. If you want to join us, we always welcome new singers. We could use some sopranos, I know that. And that's about it.
Yeah, we could use all sorts of voices And it's just a really fun group. We sing half the time and we laugh the other half. So, yes.
No, it's Wednesday. She had the date wrong. She actually had the 11th, but the 11th is Thursday, so it's actually the 10th.
Oh, okay. Yep. Oh. Good thing I asked.
When the accompanist for the choir doesn't even know what the date is, that's, you know, that we want to make sure that everybody has the right date. So, all right. If there are no other announcements, let's share the peace of Christ with one another. So before we start with the call to worship this morning, I wanted to share a little bit about the theme of the next 4 weeks. We're doing a new sermon series by Dr. Marcia McPhee of Worship Design Studio called The Changemakers. Over the next 4 weeks, we will be exploring Jesus's identity and our own as changemakers. We are inspired by many leaders within the wider church who help us recognize that the work of God what the work of God is about these days is less about perfecting the church and more about changing the communities we live in. The problems in the world can be so overwhelming that we stop believing that we can make a difference. But we can if we change our own perception of what that looks like. We will discover that each one of us is called and equipped to make change. And this, my friends, is our true asset in the world. We, the people of the body of Christ, have so much to give. We will reimagine together. This week, we will affirm the starting point, change-making starts with compassion. Jesus tells his disciples, take a look. As people of faith who want to make a difference, we must start with compassion, with connection, with seeing and suffering with. The source of this deep compassion and the source of strength to be part of this change is God's love. Now let us join in the call to worship.
We see it everywhere. We feel it in our bones. It seems to happen so much faster now than it used to. The world is changing. And also the world needs to change. Children are hungry. Systems are unjust. People are afraid. There are people on the streets who won't make it a day longer. The world needs to change. It is God's desire that the world would change and become more like a holy commonwealth of just peace in which all have what they need. And we are the change makers. We are called to work alongside the Holy Spirit. We are called to follow the way of Jesus. May we be changed by this time of worship. Please join me in prayer. Holy One, by the power of the Spirit, Open our hearts anew to your word today. Free us of our cynicism and our certainty so that we may embrace fresh possibilities and grow in our faith. May these stories show us the way to become compassion-driven change makers like Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. The opening hymn is number 56, Sing Praise to God Who Reigns Above, verses 1, 3, and 4. Our scripture today is from Mark 6, verses 30 through 44. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him everything they had done and taught. Many people were coming and going, so there was no time to eat. He said to the apostles, "Come by yourselves to a secluded place and rest for a while." They departed in a boat by themselves for a deserted place. Many people saw them leaving and recognized them, so they ran ahead from all the cities and arrived before them. When Jesus arrived and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Then he began to teach them many things. Late in the day, his disciples came to him and said, "This is an isolated place and it's already late in the day. Send them away so they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy something to eat for themselves." He replied, "You give them something to eat." But they said to him, "Should we go off and buy bread worth almost 8 months' pay and give it to them to eat?" He said to them, "How much bread do you have? Take a look." After checking, they said, 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. He directed the disciples to seat all the people in groups as though they were having a banquet on the green grass. They sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. He took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, looked up to heaven, blessed them, broke the loaves into pieces, and gave them to his disciples to set before the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all. Everyone ate until they were full. They filled 12 baskets with the leftover pieces of bread and fish. About 5,000 had eaten. The other scripture is from Luke 10, verses 25 through 37. A legal expert stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to gain eternal life?" Jesus replied, "What is written in the law? How do you interpret it?" He responded, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." But the legal expert wanted to prove that he was right, so he said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. He encountered thieves who stripped him naked, beat him up, and left him near death. Now it just so happened that a priest was also going down the same road. When he saw the injured man, he crossed over to the other side of the road and went on his way. Likewise, a Levite came by that spot, saw the injured man, and crossed over to the other side of the road and went on his way. A Samaritan who was on a journey came to where the man was, but when he saw him, he was moved with compassion. The Samaritan went to him and bandaged his wounds, tending them with oil and wine. Then he placed the wounded man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took 2 full days' worth of wages and gave them to the innkeeper. He said, 'Take care of him, and when I return, I will pay you back for any additional costs.' What do you think? Which one of these three was a neighbor to the man who encountered the thieves?" Then the legal expert said, "The one who demonstrated mercy toward him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." Here end the readings for today. May God bless us as we learn from these holy words. Amen.
Thank you, Jane. Our media song today is a favorite for a lot of folks. This is "Man in the Mirror" by Michael Jackson.
Make a change for once in my life. It's gonna feel real good. Gonna make a difference. Gonna make it right. As I turn up the collar on my favorite winter coat, this wind is blowing my mind. I see the kids in the street, but not enough to eat. Who am I to be blind, pretending not to see their need? A sonorous disregard, a broken bottle top, and one man's soul. They follow each other on the wind, you know, 'cause they got nowhere to go. That's why no one yet to know.
Thank you, Deb, for putting that together for us. My friends, will you join me in prayer? God, be in our heads and in our thinking. Be in my voice and in my speaking. Be in our hearts and in our loving. Speak through me or in spite of me for the benefit of your holy word. Amen. So I love working with our media team for a lot of reasons. We laugh and we talk about important issues and how to apply scripture to what's going on in the world. Sometimes we get a little off track and talk for a bit too long about pets or kids or husbands. This week I learned that Deb's hair dye is number 5, whatever that means. But then I brought us to the text for this week and the wider theme of the next 4 weeks about what it means to be change makers. And one of our media team members brought up a really important point. Some people are emotionally charged or even jaded by the word change. We always talk about how the church needs to change, or how the world needs to change, or how our perspectives need to change. But yet, a lot of the issues that still face us in the world today have actually been with us for years or even decades. Are we actually going to do something about it? Or are we resigned to waiting for the other people who have done the wrong to make the change, which doesn't seem like it'll happen? There's still war going on in the world. There are still hungry children when lots of folks in this world have more money or resources than they'll ever need. There was another school shooting last week, this time in Minnesota, and it seems like every time something like that happens, we as a society don't learn anything. Laws stay the same. Mental health resources stay scarce, and so the cycle repeats. But lest you think I'm a downer today, I actually do believe that today's scriptures have some weight and that they can be instructive to us about how we live in the world today. These are two stories centering around people who were taught by society to be jaded because of what society taught them, but chose compassion instead. And even though we might ourselves be a bit jaded by the state of the world, I think that we can use these two texts as a way to get ourselves out of the rut and maybe think about things from a different point of view. So first, let's take the disciples, or as some cheeky biblical scholar once called them, the disciples. They're called the disciples because they so frequently miss the plot of what Jesus is trying to tell them to do. This is a prime example of them being rather cynical. Jesus gives them an instruction: give these people something to eat. And their immediate response is to say, should we go off and buy bread with almost 8 months' pay and give it to these people to eat? Or in other words, are you trying to make us go broke? But of course, Jesus doesn't give in to that energy. He says, take a look and figure out how much you have and sit these people down. And that's what they did. They sat people down, and I love this translation, as if they were having a banquet. I mean, think about that. I'm imagining that if this happened in here in Waupun, someone probably would have run to Quick Trip or Dollar General for some red Solo cups, some cheap plastic silverware, off-brand sodas, and maybe even some tartar sauce for that fish. And by the time we sat 5,000 people down, they probably wouldn't be back yet. I mean, I'm just, you know, that image is kind of just stuck in my head. But no matter how ragtag this feast might look, somehow there was enough because Jesus made it enough. The same is true with the story of the Good Samaritan. It's important to remember that the Samaritans did not have the best reputation in biblical times. According to my Westminster Study Bible, the new study Bible that I've been using, Samaritans didn't interact much with Jews because they were written off as foreigners. Later in John's Gospel, the word Samaritan is even used almost like a racial slur. And the cold relationship between Samaritans and other Jews is well documented. And yet, neither the priest nor the Levite, both Jews, would not stop and render aid to a fellow Jew. It ends up being a Samaritan who renders the aid. Here Jesus is again flipping the script, challenging our assumptions about both what we can do for one another and what Jesus is most passionate about in his life and ministry. So this is what I want to have you walk away with today. In each of these gospel readings, Jesus emphasizes compassion not as a nice idea, but as a way to offer practical care. And God calls us to do the same. When I was in my third year of seminary, I worked with a pastor who became a friend, the Reverend Wendy Bruner. She was an excellent preacher, a caring pastor, and an important conversation partner when I needed it most. Now, Wendy, to this day, always begins her sermons, every single one, by using these words from the poet Miller Williams. Have compassion for everyone you meet, even if they don't want it. What seems conceit, bad manners, or cynicism is always a sign of things no ears have heard, no eyes have seen. You do not know what wars are going on down there where the spirit meets the bone. Unquote. But that's just it. We don't know what wars are going on down there where the spirit meets the bone. 5,000 people were hungry. Suddenly they were fed. A man was down on his luck and several people were too busy to help him. And it ended up being an unlikely angel who was willing to meet that need. And in both of these situations, people were able to overcome their jadedness and actually do something about the challenges that lay in front of them. Friends, what would our world be like if we did the same? Would we be kinder people? Would there be as much injustice in the world? Would everybody finally be able to live and have enough? See, the problem is that most of our society is apathetic. We say that we can't change the system alone, so nothing gets done, and meanwhile, children are still dying, people are still without homes, and we pretend, like the song Man in the Mirror, that we don't see the needs that are right in front of our faces. But this is what it means to be a change maker. Because the rest of the world doesn't seem to want to resolve any of the problems, we, the church, are the ones people turn to because we're the ones who actually know how to cultivate hope and compassion and love. And as the author of our worship series, Marcia McPhee, reminds us, as people of faith who want to make a difference, we must first start with compassion, with connection, with seeing and suffering with. Now, you as a church do this so well. I can tell you that as a pastor who started my first call with you and has some different or unique challenges to bring to the table, I feel so incredibly grateful for all of the ways that you have that you've shown me compassion and the sense of possibility that you always cultivate. And you do this out in the community, too, with things like the summer bag lunch programs and the other amazing things that our missions committee does all the time. To the care committee, which was something I was able to help reinvigorate with the help of some incredible folks. To the combined effort between three churches to help the food pantry during VBS. Yes, sometimes the world can be disappointed, but you are not jaded by the state of the world. You are not afraid to do hard work. I see so much heart in what you do, and I am honored and privileged to tell people that that I serve among you as your pastor. Because those aren't things that I do, right? That is how you show love and justice. I don't have much to do with most of that. So may you go forth this week thinking about how you can change the world with compassion. What are the glimmers of hope that you feel most called to give to the world? There are so many big problems, beloveds, and no, we can't solve them all on our own. But each of us is doing our own little things to make the world better, to make the changes we want to see in the world. And each of us doing our own little things in our own little corner of the world truly can make a big impact. So do not be dismayed. Do not be jaded. Because I still have this hope, and I think we can still have this hope together, that when we put our mind to it, compassion truly can change. Amen. Now let us turn to a time of more intentional prayer, thinking of the people and situations that need our prayers and our love today. We'll take a few moments of silent prayer, and then we'll join together in a time of joys and concerns. Thank you. Amen. So I have a couple of prayer requests. And then Alana, I'll come around with a microphone and we'll solicit yours. So Paul Hartel is at home recovering from foot surgery after a painful and longer than expected hospital stay. So for Paul and his wife Josie and his medical team, if I say God in your mercy, will you say receive our prayer? God in your mercy. A joy. Roger Blaze had his honor flight yesterday. And we give thanks for Roger and his years of military service and for the ways that that his service to others has changed the world. God in your mercy. I want to share a piece of exciting personal news. As of September 1st, I am on the executive team for the National United Church of Christ Disabilities Ministries Board. I'm the secretary on this board, which is really exciting for me. I got to work with some really wonderful folks. And it does not change anything about my ministry here. The only thing that might happen every so often is I might need to go to Cleveland, Ohio to UCC headquarters for a meeting. But I'm really, really grateful for the people that I get to work with and the holy troublemaking we will do together. So for that anticipation, God in your mercy. What other prayers do we have today?
For Mike and Deb Hammer, Mike had a procedure done at Frederick this week and is hopefully coming home tomorrow.
Thank you so much, Lana. For Mike and Deb, God in your mercy. One over here.
My nephew Matt, this is my nephew Matt Butine, and his wife Tammy have had very serious health issues. When did it start? Probably about February last year. Yeah, they found out that Tammy had cancer of the colon, that went on to become liver cancer, and then as things are going along, think they were doing quite well. Then she ends up having dizzy spells, goes to the hospital, and then they find out she has cancer of the brain. So they operated there, and they thought they had quite a bit of it, and hoped and prayed that things would go along. She has gone back there, and unfortunately, it's going a little bit faster now. And so she's on other drugs to take care of this, hopefully, and go on from there. Meanwhile, My nephew, Matt, they come home from a vacation out in Montana, and they get home, and he goes in for, I guess it's probably annual checkup for him. And while there, they find out that he has heart problems. So as of Tuesday this week, he will be going into the hospital in Waukesha, where they both live. And he will be having quadruple surgery on his heart. So things are not good at that point. Other than that, yeah.
Goodness.
So, anyhow, they also have two lovely daughters. One just graduated from UW-Madison a year ago, and then the other one is a sophomore. No, doesn't matter. But she's going to school over at Stevens Point. Real nice girls and good family. And So, you want it?
And you said Matt and Tammy?
Matt and Tammy, yep. So keep them in your prayers, please.
Indeed. For Matt and Tammy and the myriad of things that are going on in their lives, that God would be with them. God, in your mercy.
Pray for us as we travel to Canada this week. A little nervous about the border, but looking forward to some time with our son and our granddaughters and our daughter-in-law. We're meeting them in an Airbnb near some provincial park, so think of us while we're gone.
Wonderful. For traveling mercies for Rick and Lori. God, on your mercy. Anything else today? One more over here.
I've been meaning to ask for prayers for my partner's mom, who is probably 1,209 months old, and entering the transition to a nursing home. Okay. And it's been a little hard.
What's her first name?
Mary.
Mary. For Mary, God in your mercy. Anything else today? I'll give you a second to get back and see if there's anything on Zoom.
Paul and Laura Reynolds had a prayer request for their friend Janet from Emmanuel Lutheran Church. She will be facing heart surgery soon.
Okay. For Janet, God in your mercy. Anything else?
No. Oh.
Okay. Sometimes we have no prayers. People don't share anything specific, and sometimes you have days like this where the pastor can't even remember all the prayers that have just been said. So let's be in prayer. Gracious God, you bring us together to remind us of how compassion truly can change the world, even as we ourselves might be cynical, even as we ourselves might wonder what part we can play. We recognize that there are so many needs in this world, so many ways that we can share our light, so many places that we can make the world better just by being who we are. And with that, we pray for all of these people who have whose names have been spoken, for surgeries, for unexpected illnesses, for recovery, for lots of uncertainty in the road ahead. And yet, we also pray for new leadership opportunities, for honor flights, for good traveling, sharing time with those we love. We pray for so many things, oh God. And that is on top of all of the things we usually pray for, the needs that so often exist in our community and in our world, poverty and food insecurity and housing insecurity and war, conflict and abuse, and discrimination in all the ways that it presents itself. We ask you to empower us to be change makers, following Jesus' example and following him in the prayer that he taught us, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen." The time has come to offer our gifts back to God. Here at UCC Waupun, we give thanks for all gifts that are given, whether through time, talent, treasure, or prayer. Please give generously as your heart and spirit invite you to give. You can do so by placing an offering in the plate or by giving online at uccwaupun.net. Prayer of dedication. Holy One, we offer these gifts to you with the confidence that you will help us utilize them well. Like the Good Samaritan, help us seek out those who are in need and outcasts. Help us be the change that offers hope where there is hopelessness. Amen. You may be seated. Just a reminder for all of us, this is an open communion table in the United Church of Christ. This is a reminder that Christ is the host and invites all of us to participate, whether we are a member of this church or this denomination or not. Our Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts, friends. Let us give thanks to the change-making one. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Almighty God, creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we delight in your name and join in their unending hymn, "Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ." Through him, we find our purpose, seeking to serve his purposes in our lives. Your Spirit anointed them to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, to set free those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. He fed the hungry and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and the Holy Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, Jesus took bread and he broke it and he blessed it. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body. Take this and eat it. And every time you do so in remembrance of me." And after they were finished eating, Jesus took a cup. And he poured it out. And he says, "This is the new covenant that I make with you." And this is poured out for you and for many. And for all. For the forgiveness of sin. Every time you drink this, do so in remembrance of me. And so, in remembrance of your wonder-filled acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves for change-making as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of our faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and cup. Make them for us the blood and body of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, seal our connection with Christ, our connection with each other, and our connection to all the world through our ministry until Christ comes in his final victory and we feast at the heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. The gifts of God are given for the people of God. You may come by way of the center aisle, serve yourselves. The larger plates are gluten bread. The smaller bowl in the center is gluten-free bread. And then eat that and take a cup and then return to your seats by way of the side aisle. The gifts of God are given for the people of God. Come, for all things are now ready. Thank you. Our closing hymn is number 466, Take My Life and Let It Be. We'll sing verses 1, 3, and 4. Give my benediction, we're going to join together in a change maker blessing. This is something that made a poster of it, and you can take a copy of it with you as you leave if you'd like to remind yourself of what it means to be a change maker in the here and now. So, blessed are the change makers. Blessed are you who are not asleep to the world's pain and suffering. Blessed are you who lament for the way things are. Blessed are you who know to the depth of your bones that this is not how things are meant to be. Blessed are you for not believing the lie that this is how things will always remain. Blessed are you who know that things can change, who long for things to change. Blessed are you whose life's ambition is to bring the change that is justice and mercy for all. Blessed are you who know that God, the faithful acts of ordinary people to heal and change this world. Blessed are you who know that change begins today, change begins with us, and that we are blessed to be the change makers. Let the people say, Amen. Now go into the world, risking something big for something good. Know that compassion is fueled by God's love that is never absent or in short supply. And know that your passion will emerge from the nest when the time is right, and fly. Now, may the love of God, may the grace of Jesus Christ, and may the power of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.